You're listening to The Range, Gardner Webb University. Streaming and on-demand programming coming to you from the campus of Gardner Webb University. Jeff Powell in the studio, and with me is Jen Guberman, who is a student at Gardner Webb University and also a published author. So welcome.
Hi, thank you.
You know, it's pretty cool when you can talk to, help me out here. I think you're a senior this year?
Technically.
One of those. You've got enough hours to be a senior,
yeah.
But you're still a junior.
Yes.
Okay. So here you are, a junior, we'll go with, here in college, and you've written a book.
Mm-hmm.
There are not many undergraduates who can say they've written and published a book. So tell us a little bit about your book.
Do you mean like the plot of it? Or?
Well, no spoilers or anything,
yeah,
but
course,
yeah, what's the genre, what's it about, and then we'll go from there.
Well, it kind of fits into a category. It's called new adult, so it's kind of in between adult and young adult. It's a newer genre that's kind of surfacing because it used to qualify as young adult, but there's so many books that fit into it because it's people around the college age, honestly, like 20s, early 20s. It's a dystopian society fiction novel. It's about this one girl, and she's a thief in this one town. And so this is like years after this big war, the population's way down, and like the cities no longer really want to maintain like a prison system because they don't have the population for that. And so instead, they revert back to old styles of exiling people. But instead of just straight up kicking them out, they put them in these little towns based on whatever their crime was. And so main character, like I said, she's a thief. So she gets caught stealing, gets exiled to this town for thieves. And then while she's there, she finds out about this legend of something called the skeleton key, which is more of a device than a key, but to a thief, that's really appealing. And so in order to open the box containing it, though, she has to find these other keys that the creator of the device hid throughout the other exile towns. And so
that's a good way of getting your character to visit all these different
exile
communities.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, tell us how you managed to do that. How did you manage to write a novel, which, by the way, first in a series. So how did you manage to write a novel while also being a top student here at the university?
Oh, well, it's not easy. it definitely takes a lot of time management skills and getting on my homework sooner rather than later because especially last semester, I've been working on and continuing to work on the second book, and I was finding that a new strategy that works for me is getting my homework done like immediately after classes, and because all my classes now are later afternoon, I get up earlier in the morning, not too early because college and early mornings doesn't really mix, but nonetheless, I get up a little earlier, I'll order a coffee or something like that from the coffee shop, and I'll just sit there and work on my book.
Okay.
But it's pretty much like treating it like it's its own course, because if you don't, you're just going to put it aside. But if you tell yourself, like, I have to do writing at 9 in the morning or whatever time you set, then that's the best way to do it.
That's really interesting, as I've interviewed writers and also musicians over the years.
Mm-hmm.
I find that the approach can often vary. Mm-hmm. Some people, well, I can only do it when the muse hits, you know, and it's just it's that lightning bolt out of the blue. But others work at it very intentionally.
Yeah.
You know, I think Stephen King wrote somewhere that, you know, 8 hours a day, he sits down and writes, whether he wants to or not. He sits down and writes for 8 hours a day. So it's interesting to hear how you know, you have to have that discipline and that particular time set aside for writing.
Now, sometimes that time is really unproductive, and I'll end up writing maybe like 20 words, and then I sit there just kind of staring at the screen the rest of the time. Or if I just get really stuck, like I'll just end up on Pinterest somehow or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
I get a little distracted at times. But then some days I have like a set playlist for when I'm writing as well, because it really fits the vibe of my book. So that does tend to help. But sometimes I'll write 20 words and I'll be sitting there for 2 or 3 hours. And then some days for the same amount of time, I'll get, you know, 2,000 words done or something like that.
Tell me about your playlist. I'm intrigued now. What is it you're listening to while you're writing this fiction for young adults and or new adults and dystopian society, etc.? What kind of playlist do you have?
It's a little unique because listening to happy, want to skip through a field of flowers classical music doesn't really fit.
Mm-hmm.
I did find a website that has a bunch of different playlists for different genres, including dystopian. So once in a while, I'll listen to that. But my own personal playlist has, I don't really know how to describe it. It's kind of a little electronic, but not, it's hard to describe. Some of the groups are, or artists at least, are Black Mill, Odessa, and things like that. So a little bit more of an electronic feel to it. Typically, few lyrics, if any, and if there are lyrics, they're very repetitive ones, so I don't get distracted by that.
Okay, that's an interesting aspect of how you discipline yourself and how you get in the mood for writing.
Mm-hmm.
Go back and tell us the sort of the genesis of this. When did it occur to you that you wanted to write a book? You know, how did you develop the idea of the book? And, you know, how long of a process has this been?
Well, I initially wanted to write a book pretty early on. Even when I was in elementary school, I tried to write a book. I used to love the Magic Treehouse books when I was little.
Oh, yeah.
And so being the not super creative child that I was, I used the same character names and I wrote a book called The Magic Flower.
Ah, not a treehouse, but a flower. Yeah,
and okay. They could make wishes, and every time they made a wish, a petal would fall off. And it was like this really silly book I wrote in a notebook, and my mom typed it all up one year and printed it off for me. And it just kind of developed from there. And in middle school, I was writing short stories. In high school, I attempted to start novels, but I only ever got maybe like 10 pages in and things like that. I'd have this great idea, but it didn't really develop into anything. And eventually, it was the idea for this one actually came to me because I love a lot of dystopian society books. And I love the idea of categorizing people, at least in novels. Like, for example, a really good example of this is the Divergent series. They categorize people if they're smart or brave or things like that. And I was like, well, that's a cool concept. How can I build on that? How can I change that? And I was like, what if people were only sorted based on negative traits? And I was like, well, that just seems like it's some kind of fan fiction or something like that. It's not very creative. It's like, what if people don't have to be sorted? And then it kind of developed into, what if people are only sorted if they do something wrong? Mm-hmm. And so I developed it from there. Like, what are different categories of crimes or something that people can commit? And then I was like, okay, what can I do with this? And like, I like the idea of having a thief as the main character because I didn't really want to write it from like the perspective of a murderer or something too extreme. Mm-hmm. But I still want it to be interesting.
Because you could maybe connect as a reader to that thief because what they've done is not that bad. As opposed to, as you say, murder, you know, some serial killer out there. It's going to be harder to identify with them.
Yeah. And I definitely tried to convey in the book, too, like I by no means support crimes or anything like that. But I try and I liked the idea of making readers really think like that they're supporting these characters and things like that. And then take a step back, like, wait a minute. I'm supporting these people who were arrested for this violent crime, but really it was because they were defending somebody or something like that. So you're supporting these people because some of their reasons are more righteous than the people in the governments who are actually like running this corrupt system.
Gotcha. So let's take up that narrative again. So you were writing short stories in middle school and then, but when did you start this story?
This one. I want to say it was... I was coming up with that idea really late my freshman year, and then I started writing it. I believe it was that summer is when I started writing it, and it continued into my sophomore year, and I finished it by the winter time. I think it was like actually about this time of year.
Okay.
Last year is when I finished writing it, and then I had different people edit, went through the publishing process and all of that.
Yeah. Well, tell us about that, the distribution model. How do you get your book to readers?
That's really tough because my book is self-published, so all the marketing and everything like that is typically up to me. Created a Facebook page and just shared it with everybody on my friends list and everything like that. Eventually, they started sharing it, and my mom was helping and sharing a post here and there. I have a Goodreads page for it, and so I'm hoping that over time, because very few of my readers actually take the time to write reviews, but when they do, it is really helpful because every review helps kind of gain some interest on that website as well. I held a little contest through Amazon where they let you you put like the Kindle version on for free, but it's however many people, like it's, I think I put it like 2 out of 50 people win a free copy. So I gave out two free copies. And so I just sent out the link and it just kind of got dispersed. And I use like a certain hashtag that they have on Twitter specifically for these Amazon contests. And people go on there all the time because free stuff. And so they try their luck. And two people that I don't have any idea who they actually are, like I don't recognize their names, ended up winning free copies of my book. So basically any way that I possibly can to get it out there.
And you found ways to make it available online through, I think you said Barnes & Noble and also Amazon. So you can go to the usual spots where you would buy Stephen King's latest novel, and you can find yours.
Yep.
That's got to feel pretty good.
It's pretty exciting.
Yeah. So not only the physical copies, but also the e-books, e-book versions of it as well. And have you found yourself driving around and visiting any like independent bookstores and knocking on their doors?
I haven't tried that yet. That's on the to-do list. But I have contacted the libraries around where I live, because I live in the Huntersville, Charlotte area. And I contacted some of the libraries there, and they say they don't do book signings or anything like that. And they just basically had no interest in having a self-published author do anything with their work, which I thought was really surprising. But at Gardner Webb, they have my book in their library. It's like got this little special nameplate on it and everything. It was really sweet. And then they also have it on, I guess they have like an agenda for the librarians where they discuss different things at their meetings. And they have the About the Author kind of, or Meet the Author. Sorry.
Yes, that's a regular series the library puts on for folks associated with Gardner Webb University who've published. Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And so they have it on their next agenda to kind of discuss if, because typically it's faculty members and things like that.
Scholarly
so it's
works.
Always usually textbooks that they have the authors of come talk. But I contacted one of the librarians. I was like, please, like, can you see if they'd be willing to let me do this? And she was very sweet about it and very enthusiastic and said that she would bring it up.
Oh, so, very good. Well, hopefully you'll be in there with all the professors at the next one.
That'd be cool.
How far along are you on the second book in the series?
I'm a little over halfway done with it.
Which actually leads me back to another creative question. When you're planning out these books, you know, some people really meticulously plot out what's going to happen and then write the book. And others just, it sort of writes itself as they go along. Which category do you fall in?
Honestly, a mixture. I have on my iPad specific notes on this event in it and like the big plot points as well as some of the little filler ones.
So you know how it ends.
Yes, I know how it ends. And I know, cause I plan on it being a trilogy. Okay. So I know how the whole trilogy ends because you have to have an end goal to work towards. Otherwise, you just end up really lost and the end won't do it justice.
Yeah.
So I do have like at least the big points planned out, but some of the littler ones, they definitely change. Even looking back at the plans for the first book, a lot of the littler plot points changed, and I think it's for the better because naturally it does progress, and if you try and force every detail you plan out in advance, it seems a little artificial to me. So as long as I kind of have some guidance on it, then I follow along with that and make sure that my pacing is good because of that. But I don't want to fit every little plan that I have beforehand because sometimes I've even had it where characters just seem to pop up in my book that I don't plan for initially, but they work really well in it.
Do some of the main characters sometimes surprise you? Like they do something you're like, oh, I didn't see that coming, but that's what's got to happen next.
Yeah. It sounds really crazy because I'm that weirdo who's like, yeah, I have these conversations in my head and it's not like I'm hearing voices, like I'm not that nuts. But at the same time, like I'll walk around and there'll be this inner dialogue going on and it doesn't involve me. And then I'm like, oh, that'd be really good if I incorporated that. Or when I'm writing something, it just like I go with the flow and suddenly this one character does something where I'm like, ooh, that's really good. That's not what I planned for, but I think that works really well.
Yeah.
And it just kind of develops from there.
Is this what you want to do? You want to write novels?
Not for a living, because I've read a lot of quotes and articles about if you want to be an author for a living, you picked the wrong career.
It's really hard to do. Yeah.
Yes, it's not really something that you typically make money doing. And even with the copies of my book, I sell them for pretty much as low as I can because the percentages that the companies have to take, of course. So I sell it for pretty fair minimum just because my goal isn't to make money doing it. It's to not go bankrupt, but to still get my book out there.
So what is your major?
My major is public relations with minors in film and French. It's really eclectic.
Well, there you go. You'll be prepared to do a lot of different things.
This is true.
Okay. All right. Well, again, Jen Guberman. And the name of the series? I don't think we even mentioned the name of the series or the name of the book.
The series is the Eos Dawn series, spelled EOS. But the first book is called Eos. The second one, I can release the title of the second one because it's for sure it's going to be called Fortitude.
Is there a place like Facebook or Twitter where people can follow along with the progress of your writing?
Yeah, I have a Facebook page. If you just look up Eos Dawn series, it should pop right up.
All right, sounds very good. Jen Guberman from Gardner Webb University, young author and aspiring film
editor,
critic,
graphic designer,
and all that kind of stuff. She's
everything.
The universal woman. Thanks so much for joining us. This is WGWG.org. If you've got questions or comments, want to pass along word to Jen about her book or about this interview, just email us at info, I-N-F-O, at WGWG.org.